Psalm 139:14. We're going to do this a little bit different. We're going to do some more of this again. Psalm 139:14. The Word of God says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We're going to look at the fearfully and wonderfully made again. And go over some things we went over before and add a couple things to it. It's like we talked about before, it's amazing. We're going to get into some more things that involve food, too, that you'll see that's just amazing. But it's amazing how people can worship the God of happenstance, if you will, or chance. There's nobody in the world in their right mind that would... first of all, we don't gamble, right? We try not to gamble with God's money. We're supposed to be good stewards. But there's nobody in their right mind that would go to a roulette wheel and say, I've got $100 million, and I'm going to put $100 million on red 17 and take that chance. And then see that wheel spin and say, I got it all on red 17, and then see that thing. Nobody would want to take that chance. But people believe there's much less chance of this stuff coming into existence than that. You see, it's ridiculous coming into existence on its own without a creator, without what they call an intelligent designer, what we call God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we talked about this a little bit before, about the human body and the immune system. We're going to look at a few other things tonight. We're going to go recap a few things. If you think about the basics of the immune system and the fact that when you get sick, your body's trying to get well, that's a big statement against evolution. Because that means you started out with a really good immune system that was able to protect yourself. We talked about that before, because if people evolved the way the cells work, even when you get a cut on your skin, the cells, due to intercellular communication and lack of that communication, they realize there's a gap there and they start... causing the cells to divide and fill that gap in. So if you believe in evolution, you have to believe that for billions of years, people were running around with big open wounds and surviving with no immune system, or immune system that was trying to develop. There's a video out there. I can't remember the name of it right now. But anyway, it's about incredible creatures that defy evolution. I think we might have seen that or went over it before, but one of the things it talks about is the bombardier beetle and how that beetle... has an explosive charge that comes out the back side of it, and what it does is it puts a noxious chemical out there to get the enemy away, and it also shoots that beetle forward. So for that to develop, there had to been a lot of them beetles. That first beetle would have blown up. I mean, it wouldn't have been perfect. I mean, that thing just had to develop until that charge was perfect. But it doesn't make sense that everything come into existence without God. It couldn't have. You talk about the immune system, and the immune system... We talked about the fact that when you have a virus or a bacteria, we can go on, fungus, fungal infection, whatever. When you have one of those infections, let's say it's a virus or bacteria, to simplify this a little bit, because fungal gets into a little bit of different type of response, a little bit different antibodies, different things, but it's still basically the same thing. When you have a virus or a bacteria, and your body attacks it, it does so by white blood cells. And it's not just like there's red cells, white cells, and neutrophils, and all that. There are so many different types of white blood cells. And those white blood cells actually do what they call differentiate, or change into other cells as they're needed. They change into that stuff. And that's just not an accident. There's absolutely no way that stuff can happen on its own. But when you have this virus... or bacteria, or what have you, you're going to have, if your immune system's functioning at all, you're going to have an inflammatory response. So the cells will identify this, and they will cause the blood vessels to dilate. They'll cause inflammation to come in there and attack. And what happens to that inflammation part, that's there for a couple different reasons. It helps regulate a healing process eventually, but it also works to destroy the invader. So usually when you get sick, the vast majority of the sickness is not the disease, it's your body's attacking. Like when your body attacks a virus or a bacteria, generally a viral infection, now this isn't 100% steadfast rule, but generally a viral infection, you'll run a low-grade fever, 99 to 101, 102. But a bacterial infection, a lot of times you'll hit a 103, 104, 105. I mean, the bacterial infection is a little bit different. But your body, through the hypothalamus and heat regulation and all this stuff, is cranking up the heat in your body because it's taking that bacteria virus and trying to kill it. So when you grow bacteria in a lab setting, they grow really well in this narrow band of temperature, like say 70 to 90. They grow really well. Well, you get below 70, that's why you keep things in the refrigerator. Things about 40 degrees down, the bacteria stops, the growth stops. And then you get up, it starts killing them off and stopping them. So there's a very narrow band of temperature that these things live. So isn't it funny that people could think we actually evolved into this stuff working the way it does? So your body's able to take that out of that range to get rid of that invader, to try to help slow down the replication or the lifespan of that invader. And when you're getting chills and stuff like that, a lot of times that your hypothalamus is fighting this thing, especially viruses, you can know you get chills. Well, it's raising your temperature up there, but there's low-grade temperature. It's doing it to slow down viral replication. It's doing it to get rid of the invader. It's not an accident, and it's not always the invader that's causing all your problems. It's your immune system trying to get rid of it. So that's why when they had the bat virus going around, man, they first released that. I mean, that thing first showed up, however you believe it got here. When it first showed up, they were talking about people having all these respiratory problems and stuff from it because it's a respiratory virus and your immune system's attacking it in your lungs and your lungs are getting inflamed, and because of our poor diet and everything, they're getting over-inflamed. And when they get over-inflamed, your body sends fluid and stuff out there to try to get it in check. So that's what was wrong with it. They were telling everybody not to take anti-inflammatories, which the anti-inflammatories they were telling them not to take were being proven in different parts of the world, which I already couldn't understand why they were saying that. In different parts of the world, they were already looking at it and say, if you take ibuprofen early on, you have a 16 to 40% chance or 50% chance, less chance of being hospitalized for this. But we talked about last week, the reason the inflammation is so bad is because our health. Our overall health is not good, especially the American diet. You know, it's funny because people were going, why aren't the homeless dropping off like fleas? Well, they're not living on Twinkies and Oh. Most of them. Most of them are eating probably 800 to 1,000 calories a day if they get that. And they're not doing what Americans generally do, which is live on trash. I mean, they might be eating trash, they're not eating much of it. So we talked about the omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. We'll just call prostaglandins. So when you have the omega-3s, well, let's see, the omega-6s drive inflammation. The omega-3s are they're non-inflammatory. We're just going to use a simplified thing and say they're non-inflammatory. So they keep the inflammation in check. And we talked about this before, the omega-3s and omega-6s, the omega-6 ought to be about 3 to 1. You ought to have about 3 times the omega-6 fatty acids in your body as you do omega-3 fatty acids. There's some omega-9s too, they're really negligible as far as this, they don't really matter as far as the discussion goes because your body produces them, you don't really need them from an outside source. But they do play an important role, but they're not for this. So the omega-3s and omega-6, the omega-6 should be 3 to 1, 6 versus 3. And the American diet is as high as 40 to 60 to 1. So So you're getting all this extra inflammatory stuff going on, and you can't regulate it. It's like lighting a barn on fire and trying to put it out with a garden hose after it's burning for 3 hours. You know, you can't do it. There's just not enough water coming out. That's why, you know, people say, well, take alpha-linolenic acid, take fish oil, and eat tuna once in a while, and that's fine. But you can't, you realize how much tuna you would have to eat to offset this? I mean, you're probably looking at 10 pounds a day for like 3 months or something to get this back in regulation. But you have to stop the 40-to-1 thing. You have to stop the bad stuff. And the bad stuff, we're going to list some of it. The most important bad thing that we deal with in the United States of America is corn oil. Corn oil is loaded with omega-6 fatty acid. It does have a little bit of omega-3, but concentrated corn oil is very inflammatory, and they cook everything in corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, and all these oils that are high in omega-3s are cheap, or omega-6s, they're cheap. So the love of money is the root of all evil, right? So they don't care about your health. They just care about selling you a bag of potato chips for $5. And then making four off of it. And they could put good oil in there or less oil in there and make three off of it. They'd rather have the extra dollar. So the corn oil is one thing that's really, that's probably the major problem with the inflammation in the United States and probably most of the world. So if you cut that stuff out and you eat healthy, then 2 or 3 months, your body can get back in check with that. But you have to be eating something that's close to 3 to 1, 6 to 3s. So you can't just load up on omega-3s by taking a pill. You got to quit doing the bad stuff. So like we brought up the barn burning. If the barn's burning and you've got a helicopter hovering above dumping 5-gallon buckets of diesel fuel on it, and then you got a guy with a straw over there spitting water on it, what's going to happen? It's just going to keep burning. But if you get the helicopter out of the way, quit dumping the diesel fuel on it, which we'll call the corn oil, and you turn that straw into a fire hose where you're getting more omega-6s in there, and you cut down the omega-3s, then your body can take care of itself. We don't do that, though, generally. So that's the reason they were saying that obese people and people in poor health were being hit harder, which they're always hit harder by viruses. There always are, and bacteria. And the reason is they're in poor health anyway because their body's in a constant inflammatory state. It's hyperinflammatory because of this. But the reason I want to talk about that is even with this assault on the body, look how people survive. I mean, you can actually survive with a ratio of 60 to 1 when God intends it to be closer to 3 to 1, to 5 to 1, to 6 to 1, something like that. I'll use 3 to 1. There are some people that believe 1 to 1. I think 3 to 1 is probably better. Option because you have to have the inflammation. But anyway, if it's close to 3 to 1, and you're in pretty good shape. But can you imagine? So eventually we'll evolve into somebody that needs 60 to 1, right? No, eventually they'll just put you in a hole in the ground, throw dirt on you because you had 60 to 1 10 years early. But that's what happens. But it's a lifestyle choice. And the thing is, people aren't being taught this. They don't teach you the stuff they're making money on. They're not going to tell you to. I mean, there are some voices out there, but the AMA is not going to come out and say quit eating corn oil because they're going to upset their cousin that happens to be selling Lay's potato chips or something. You know what I mean? You're not going to get the truth. You're not getting truth in the public school system. You see what the public school system is nowadays anyway. It's a propaganda machine. And the news media is a propaganda machine. Even Fox News is a propaganda machine. Amen? Which, if you're going to pick an American news source, I mean, Fox is as good as any or better than most, but it's still propaganda. They always want to slant it. And even if they're slanted your direction, it's still slanted, you know. So the body has an amazing ability to survive even with this. But you don't have to. I mean, you can actually get it in check. And if you get it in check, a lot of things are going to happen. First of all, when this is going on, it's hard on your kidneys, it's hard on your liver, it's hard on your everything. Your mental function, your musculoskeletal system, it's hard on your joints. A lot of people are diagnosed with different types of arthritis all the time, and if they just get this in check, that would either go away or it'd get a lot better. At least get a lot better, sometimes go away. But they don't want to tell you it can go away. They don't want to show you studies about it going away because there's no money in that. Seriously. And I'm not saying, thank God for the medical doctors that are doing their job, that, you know, you get your hand whacked off or something, you don't want somebody throwing corn oil or avocados at it, man. You want somebody to sew it back on. Thank God for the doctors that are trying to do right and all that. But the system is broken. The system is broken. Look at our system. We've got a system that everything's broken. Every part of the system is tainted by man. Even the religious system. Amen. You can take it further than that. The Bible-believing churches are being tainted by man, you know, bringing in all this stuff. But it's just when the way God wants it always works better. But what I want to talk about is I made a list of some things today. This is the primary thing I want to talk about, staying away from or keeping cut down. But here's what I want to talk about. Things to add. That'd be things like cold water fish, which is like salmon and tuna. And not farm-raised either, because what they feed it is what determines the amount of good fats in it. So natural-caught stuff, if you can find it. Flax oil and seed. Berries. Kale and spinach. And believe me, I'm going somewhere with this biblically too, not just a health class here. Avocados. Broccoli and cabbage. And true grass-fed foods. Especially when it comes to like beef and butter. Now, if you eat fake butter, you're eating pretty much plastic, and you're wasting your money on it. Might as well just eat plastic cups or something. But, yeah, margarine, fake butter. Fake butter is like one chemical side chain away from being plastic. That's another reason we have so much heart disease and stuff, that man-made stuff. But real grass-fed beef and real grass-fed cows that produce this butter, they produce a higher level of omega-3 fatty acids because they eat the grass. Now, the grain-fed stuff, they're getting more omega-6, so that's what's coming through the meat. That's why there's a big deal about having just cheap beef from whatever store or the grass-fed stuff. But like Alyssa and I were talking about the other day, just because it says grass-fed on it doesn't mean it's 100% grass. It should say 100% grass-fed. Because if it does say just grass-fed on it, that means it got to eat grass once. Right? So that means they got 25 cows and a lot half the size of this room, and there's some grass in there once in a while. But they're really feeding it all grain. And they're feeding it just as much grain as they can to fatten it up. So what they're eating is they're eating things that are high in omega-6 fatty acids and things that are genetically modified. So you're getting unhealthy beef. So what am I saying? I'm saying all this stuff, the way God intended it, will give you a ratio close to 3-to-1. But when you're eating it the way man tries to market it, you're going to change that ratio, and it's going to be way out of kilter. I've heard, you know, some people say 20-to-1, 40-to-1, 60-to-1, and most of the studies I've heard in school and still today show the American diet around 40-to-60-to-1, which is way out of balance. But all these things here, and there's much more, but I mean, this is just a list of things to add into your diet and get rid of this processed stuff. The processed food, by the way, that was really good bread, thank you. That bread was really good. So, bread machine bread's a lot better than the stuff at the store, if you use good products, like she was saying, you use different flour and stuff like that. But that process, the more something's processed, the more it's bad for you. Because generally what they process out of it, what processes out of it when man does it is the good stuff. Process the omega-3s out of it. So it really doesn't have that counterbalance for the inflammation. So that's a problem. But just eating the stuff the way God wild-caught, you see, it's not farm-raised. God didn't intend this stuff to be farm-raised. He intended it to be wild-caught. When it's wild-caught, it's healthier. It's got a lot more omega-3 fatty acids in it. The flaxseed oil and seeds, especially the seeds, I mean, nuts and seeds is where you get the omega-3. They have both, but they have a good number of both. They don't have, like, corn oil's got a lot of 6 and a little 3. But most nuts and seeds have a lot of 3 and a little or a lot of 6 and a lot of 3 both, and they're really close to balance because that's the way God made it. So you want to really know, see, this number's controversial, whether it's 3-1 or 6-1 or whatever. What you want to do is average what's out there in the natural stuff. You look at the natural stuff that's good for you and see what the range is in it. Like, say, avocado. Say it's 3-1. That's probably what God wants you to have is about 3-1. So all this stuff will help, but it's the stuff the way God intended it to be made and eaten. Another thing that comes up is, of course, I hear this a lot. I've heard it for 25 years or more. It's hard to eat healthy. It's expensive to eat healthy. It's not expensive to eat healthy. It's more expensive to eat unhealthy. If you got a cartload of ding-dongs and ho-hos and Twinkies and Doritos, you're going to spend a lot more than if you had a cartload of lettuce, or it's going to be really close to the same if you get the good stuff. You're not going to spend a lot more. It's just that people go, I will sacrifice and give $5 for a box of Twinkies, but I won't give $5 for a 2-pound box of dark greens. So it's a choice, and it's in their mind that that's not worth it, and that is, because this gives me some kind of pleasure instantly by eating the Twinkies. But the money's the same, but the health benefits are different. So you're actually spending more in the long run by not eating healthy. But when it comes to organic stuff, okay, here's the thing with organic stuff. There's some concern about organic stuff. First of all, in the United States, I'm not sure what it even means. Because if you've got money, you can get anything marked anything you want. I'm not even sure I trust the FDA and all that stuff at all. But I do know this. Their idea of organic is not the same as our idea of organic sometimes. When they say organic, they're thinking more towards save the earth. Sustainable this and recycle that. But when we say organic, we're talking about no pesticides and no genetically modified stuff. We want stuff, when you and I say it, we want stuff the way God made it, or as close to it as possible. So the thing with organic stuff is you go to the store and you look at organic apples and organic and non-organic apples, and you go, man, that organic apple doesn't look good. But the organic apple looks really good. Well, that thing's been sprayed with everything known to man. Everything they spray on it would kill you if you put it on your Cheerios every morning. But they just run it through a rinse-off cycle and sell it. And it looks good, but they protect it from outside things, bugs and disease and stuff. And then they have genetically modified seeds so they don't get some diseases. Here's the problem. If you've got an apple or a banana that's got those little spots on it, or a pear's got those little spots on it, that's healthier for you. What they're doing is they're taking the outside stress away from that fruit and the vegetable. And what the way God, see, I'm telling you, God is amazing. The way he made those fruits and vegetables, he gave them a system of self-defense. So when there's a parasite or a virus or something that gets a hold of them, or inclement weather or whatever, they actually ramp up what they have, a type of an immune system in them to protect them. And when you see those little spots is where they've had something wrong with them and they protected themselves. So if you eat an apple that's got those little spots on it, or blueberries that might not look quite as pretty as the ones that weren't organic, and they might be a little bit more expensive, but the phytonutrients in them. We talked about phytonutrients. They are antioxidants that keep your body's immune system that causes oxidation and other things cause oxidation from causing you problems. The organic have more of them because they've had to produce those to protect themselves. So they have higher level of antioxidants in them. And if you got two blueberries and one was actually organically grown and one wasn't, the one that's really organically grown is going to have more nutritional value. Now, it might not look as pretty. It might not last as long. So but it's better for you. Now, one concern they have is we talked about nitric acid, nitric oxide, is a lot of times they'll say, well, organic food, they won't let them use organic fertilizer, so the ground's being burned up and they don't have the nitrogen in them, so you won't get the nitrogen. But generally, if somebody's truly planting and raising organic stuff, they're using organic means of fertilizing. They're using dead foliage and stuff like that that puts the nitrogen back in the ground. You know the reason that man has almost feels like they have to do the Monsanto GMO stuff? They don't crop rotate. They don't. I mean, you'll see them raise corn three years in a row sometimes. If it looks like beans are going to be bad the next year for down, they'll raise corn again. They'll just spray it with something else and whatever. But also, they don't let the land rest. That land's supposed to rest every 7 years. It's supposed to rest. And when it does, God replenishes the nutrients. He'll let the things on that land, and it, even if they don't till it out and it sits for a season, those things on that land will decay. And when it snows on it, it drives the nitrogen and stuff in the ground. So they could take and farm land and actually get a bigger yield out of it if they did it biblically than trying to do it by getting around God's idea of doing it right, or God's way of doing it right. So there we run into all kinds of problems. I'm just telling you, I'm saying all this to say, not to say, oh, bad man, because we are bad. I'm just saying, or to get into a political attack on our system or something. I'm just saying that God set it up the right way. And the reason we have all these problems is not God's fault. And these people, that they want to blame God for everything. Every disease known to man, and every war that goes on, how could God do this? And every war has been a religious war. Well, it's a spiritual battle between good and evil, but it ain't all Bible-believing Christians killing people. Bible-believing Christians very seldom kill anybody. We kill people out there like a slap once in a while, but no, we don't go killing people. That's not our thing. Our thing is showing them the love of Jesus Christ and tell them how to get to heaven, amen? But they want to blame God on all this stuff, for all this stuff. But God set it up right, and then man messed it up. So it's just amazing, the creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, you can just look at this and see that's true. Just the basic systems of the body and the way they function, there's no way. How many generations would have to go, how would they make it without a liver? I mean, you talk about an amoeba turning into a monkey, turning into a person. How did they get from an amoeba to a monkey without everything they needed to be a monkey? And then how did a monkey get to a person, but yet they're still monkeys, and no people are turned into anything else, and no monkeys are turned into people? It's all hogwash. It's all baloney. It's a lie. It's deceit. And it's man's way of saying, we don't need you. We don't want you. We can be our own God. You can be like God. That's man's way of saying that. But look, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he not only fearfully and wonderfully made your body to take care of itself, but if you do things his way, it'll be able to do it. It'll be able to do it. People give Lester Roloff a bad time because he was so much into Bible diet. But I want to tell you what, if you stuck to an Old Testament diet, you probably put 2/3 of American Medical Association medical doctors out of business. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about the secondary health, or the alternative health care providers too. They'd be out of business. There'd be less joint pain. There'd be less heart disease. There'd be less everything. But the problem is we've gotten so far away from where God wants it, it's almost hard to get back there. But you can do it with some work. I mean, you can get really close. You're never going to get back to the Garden of Eden here. I mean, not until the Lord regenerates this place. But I mean, the closer you do it to this, the way God intended it, the more this is going to be able to function correctly, the immune system.